Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books.
This morning we talk with Christopher Linendahl of Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York, for our book list. And he has traveled around the literary globe to collect these tomes. And above that, he came from Saratoga. After spending lots of time reading dozens of books and studying up, he joins us this morning with a terrific list of books to share. Christopher, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you here. Thank you very much for making the trek. No problem. Where would you like to begin, sir?
First one on my list is a book I just finished that I'm very happy about. It's called The Girl with All the Gifts by M.R. Carey, who is a former graphic novelist who wrote for Marvel and DC. And this is starts out as like a psychological thriller and neatly becomes a zombie movie in the middle of it. And then it turns into like a road story similar to The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It's about a little girl who, she's very innocent, you know, sweet little girl who has, she's got a little bit of the virus inside of her, and she is not turning into a zombie as quickly as the rest of the population has. So, everybody's trying to get a piece of her for their own means, and it's very interesting. It's very well written, and for a debut novel, he's got a firm grasp on it.
M.R. Carey's The Girl with All the Gifts, and out now. What else, sir?
Next is a book that my coworker Stan talked about last time he was here, but I think it's good and needs to be mentioned again. It's called Redeployment by Phil Clay, and this is a collection of short stories by a former Marine. And he served in Iraq, Afghanistan during the surge. And, you know, all these books don't take place necessarily from his point of view, but they are about people who have been in that military world. Either they're coming back or they're shipping out or they're in the current conflict. And it's incredibly visceral and emotional. It's full of great stuff. And this is also his debut. So, I mean, two great authors off the bat with their first books.
Excellent. Good stuff when you can add somebody new to the list.
Right? Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Next.
Next is a not a new author by any means. It's Serpent of Venice by Christopher Moore. And he's kind of a satirical novelist. People compare him to Kurt Vonnegut a lot. Yeah. Carl Hiaasen, kind of a funny humor guy. And this is actually a sequel to a book of his called Fool. And it is the fool is named Pocket, and he used to be King Lear's fool. So the first book, Fool, is kind of a retelling of Shakespeare's King Lear play, kind of from Pocket's point of view. And then this sequel is completely a new story. It's written in kind of fake Shakespearean language. And it's incredibly funny. It's dirty. It's not for kids. There's a lot of black and gross out humor in it. But it's fantastic stuff. It's just as good as anything else he's ever written.
Christopher Moore, Serpent of Venice. You have to sort of you have to learn his language, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, Fool. I got it. Fool when it first came out, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I picked it up. I was very excited about a new Christopher Moore book, but the language definitely put me off at first, and I kind of put it down until I was ready to kind of think in Shakespearean.
Right.
And then I ended up reading Fool and Serpent of Venice back to back, just because I was already in that kind of mindset, kind of Shakespearean mindset.
So it's Serpent of Venice by Christopher Moore.
And we have signed copies in the store.
Oh, so excellent. Great.
Check that out.
Next up.
Next up is another debut. I love debut novelists. I think, you know, they take as much time as they need for their first book, so it's always as good as they want it to be. And this is called The Intern's Handbook by Shane Coon. And this is about a 26-year-old assassin who works undercover as interns at law firms or, you know, business places. And the premise is that, you know, nobody notices interns. They're kind of faceless. They come and go. If an intern doesn't show up the next day, nobody's going to think anything about it because, you know, interns are flaky or whatever. So this guy, John Lago, is... You know, he's getting too old. He's 26. He's getting too old to be an assassin anymore, to be a believable intern. people are going to be like, why aren't you in a career?
Right.
You know, you're coming up on old age. So this is his final assignment, and he has to infiltrate one of the high-profile law firms in New York City, and he has to, like, get to one of the top partners in the firm. And, you know, everything goes terribly. There's double crosses and triple crosses. And it's very funny, but it's funny in the way that Fight Club was funny.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if a lot of people understand that Fight Club was supposed to be kind of funny and black.
Right.
So if you liked Fight Club or other, you know, Chuck Palahniuk books, check out The Intern's Handbook.
The Intern's Handbook, it's a thriller by Shane Kuhn. Next.
Next up is I know you like hardcovers. This is not a hardcover. This is not one book. This is three books.
All right.
It's called The Southern Reach Trilogy.
we're fine with hardcover, paperback, anything book.
This is paperback original. This is three books published all this year from spring to summer by Jeff Vandermeer. The first book is called Annihilation. That came out earlier this spring. Second book is Acceptance, and that just came out last week. And the premise, it kind of changes with each book, but it's kind of like there's a unchecked wilderness growing in like an unnamed portion of the Southeast United States. And the government is sending in all these research teams to figure out what's going on there, what kind of is driving everybody out of that area, and why it's the borders of the area are expanding faster and faster than it should be. So they gather a team of biologists, a psychologist, a linguist, and none of the characters are named. You just know their profession. And the narrator is completely unreliable. So they go into this area and they're trying to check it out. And as the reader, you're never told what is really going on. You're never sure, because the narrator is always kind of changing her story too. And you're kind of, she's kind of going through a psychosis of her own. So in the beginning of the book, you have no idea what's going on. And by the end of the book, you have no idea what's going on. But it's a good journey in between.
And are all three books like that? So you have no idea what...
You kind of get pieces here and there. The first one, you get a sense of, okay, this is kind of what's going on. And the second kind of fills in some backstory on that. And the third one, I have got a galley of. I haven't taken a look into it, but I'm very excited to see how that all wraps up.
Wouldn't it be funny if at the end of the book, you know, everybody is named?
Right, this is Joe. Yeah.
It sort of tells you.
Yeah, and it was all a dream.
Cast
and
of
some
characters.
Guy's snow globe.
Right, something. Who knows? It's a Southern Reach a trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer, and it sounds very interesting.
It is. It's very good. Great cover.
Recommend that. Okay.
Next up is a series for children, kind of middle school kids. It's called Timmy Failure by Stephen Pastis. You might know him as the author and illustrator of the comic strip Pearls Before Swine, which is in newspapers.
Yes.
So this is like his first kind of book series, and it's Calvin and Hobbes, but Hobbes is not a tiger; he's a polar bear, and Calvin is like a dim-witted idiot. And they have like their own like detective agency, and Timmy is completely incompetent. His polar bear is absolutely, you know, just unwilling to be a good detective partner. He steals his mom's Segway. The girl next door is terrible. Her face is blacked out throughout the story because she's the worst. And it's kind of done in the style of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which is kind of, it's not a graphic novel and it's not a prose book. It's kind of in between. There's lots of drawings on each page. And it's kind of told through illustration. So there's one book out called Timmy Failure. The second one is Now Look What You've Done. And that's a series that's going to be continuing, hopefully, every few months or so.
And Mom has a segue.
Mom has a single. Yeah, well, she did until she Timmy did, got his hands on
Timmy
it.
Timmy got his hands on it and screwed it all up. Timmy Failure by, is it Stephen?
I say Pestis. That could be totally wrong.
All right. Sounds good. We'll go with that. And it's Timmy Failure and other books as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next.
Next is a short story collection called One More Thing, Stories and Other Stories.
Oh, I love this collection.
By BJ Novak.
Yeah.
Who you probably know best as Ryan from The Office, the intern turned cocaine-fueled district manager turns intern again. I'm not sure what his arc was on the show, but he was a writer on the show, and that's kind of where his chops come from.
Yep.
He was in improv groups, and you know he's worked stand-up before. So BJ Novak himself has said, this is a George Saunders book if George Saunders was not a genius. So I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Right. And he is. George Saunders is
He is a genius.
Genius.
And, you know, B.J. Novak is not terrible. I mean, he is. Yeah. He's definitely knows what he's got. I mean, some stories are a few lines, kind of like Lydia Davis stories.
Yep.
And, you know, some are very hefty, and it's kind of, some are incredibly funny, some are weirdly touching. The main hook, the main story, I think it's called One More Thing, is this kid who wins a cereal box prize for, you know, tons of money or whatever. He you know, his family life, they're struggling with money, so he thinks he can turn it all around for his family. And he goes to the cereal company and is told he cannot receive the prize, and he comes to find out that the CEO of the company is his real father.
Oh, boy.
My favorite, I hate to give away, but there's a pivotal scene revolving around agave nectar and its use instead of chocolate syrup, and that's kind of where the narrator of that story has his breaking point with his adopted family.
All very funny stuff and good stuff. Well written. It's a story collection doing very well. It's called One More Thing, Stories and Other Stories by B.J. Novak. All right. What else do we have left?
I got one more series here.
Yes.
This is called The Silo Saga by Hugh Howey. The first book is called Wool. There's a second book called Shift, and the third is Dust. And this is originally a ebook that he published kind of serially that was all collected at once into this, you know, giant tome. And this is a science fiction series about a post-apocalyptic society that lives underground in silos. And every time somebody dies, or every time there's a baby born, somebody has to be sent outside into the poisonous atmosphere to die.
Well, sure.
Just one for one. Everything in the silo is the only world they know. You know, water filtration, food, all that stuff comes from inside the silo. And the gist of the series is that eventually the narrator comes to find out the silo she is in is not the only silo. And why are they down there? And do they truly need to be down there?
Hmm.
It gets political. It's action, and it's you feel like the author created this world that is really alive. It's incredible storytelling.
All right, and what is it? It's
the first book is called Wool
by Wool
by Hugh Howey. And if we've had any sort of breakout hit at Northshire and Saratoga, it's been this. Wool. We can't keep it in stock.
And the one was one book I have on the list, and I don't know if you dropped it, but I just want to, because I was looking forward to talking about the Andre the Giant.
Oh yes, that is the my final one here. Andre the Giant, Life and Legend.
Yeah.
It's a graphic novel memoir by Box Brown, and it's I love pop culture that is terrible. So I love you know, pro wrestling got its hooks into me when I was young, and you know it's still very nostalgic. I still
right.
love it.
Yep.
So I, you know, when I was younger, I remember Andre the Giant was like the guy. Him and Hulk Hogan, you know,
Roddy Piper,
Macho guys. Man. That's the golden
Captain
era.
Captain Lou. All
yes,
those guys.
So,
yeah.
And then Princess Bride, is
right?
One of the greatest films ever made.
Absolutely.
So Andre the Giant, The Life and Legend, is kind of a biography told in little snippets of him, and you see him kind of go from being picked on as a youngster who, you know, looked different to kind of hustling, making money for all these, you know, slimy promoters. And then eventually, you know, achieving success in wrestling and movies. And by the end of his life, he was very miserable. He was an alcoholic. he was in constant pain from, you know, his giantism, and he retired and then died shortly after because his body just could not take it anymore. He did not live a very necessarily long or happy life at the end of his life.
It and I would assume the graphic novel is an interesting way to do it.
It is. It's very simple illustrations. It's very easy to follow, but you know, the Box Brown perfectly captures the size of Andre, and it's kind of told through collected stories from Hulk Hogan and, you know, all these other guys that Andre knew throughout his life.
Well, for more information on the Northshire Bookstore in Manchester, Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York, where Christopher is at, you can go to their website, northshire.com, northshire.com. Christopher, thank you so much for sharing picks with us. And again, you can find the full list on our website as well as theirs. Our website is wamc.org/roundtable or northshire.com. Christopher, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.